Good morning. Good to be together. What a blessing. I felt chilled last night at home and opened the door up this morning. Hi, welcome back. Opened the door up this morning and felt that warm 60 whatever degree air. It had like warmed up 8 degrees or 10 degrees through the night or something. That was very, very nice. What a blessing this morning. This is an exciting time here. There's a lot of things going on. We have there's a retreat going on this weekend out at Midnight Sun Camp that doesn't involve us very much. It's a deaf retreat, except that there's 30 teenagers and adults, excuse me, 18 of which are coming here this afternoon to help us with our vacation Bible school. So that part of it will connect directly to us. I'm sorry, I don't usually have this problem. I'm rescued. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Adam. Anyway, with our vacation Bible school starting tomorrow morning, we're going to be doing some more work and decorations here this afternoon. By the way, those 18 from Waco, Texas are coming up here to help us. They're not going to be teaching any of the classes. They will be doing our skit, and they'll be helping us guide the children from classroom to classroom and help us with crafts and the like. But they get here about 5 o'clock, so if you're expecting to keep a couple of those teenagers at your house, and thank you, we had several families that sign up to do that, they'll be getting here about 5 o'clock. They'll be helping us with some work here, probably practicing the skit, and then going on to your houses. But we've got registration. If your children are coming to VBS, register them today. It'll save a lot of time in the morning and help Nancy and her work out a lot. Let's go to our Father in prayer before we begin the lesson. Precious Lord, we praise you and pray that that we are a people who pay attention to you every day. Father, help our faith to be real. Shake us. Challenge us, Father. Drive from us any shallowness or surfacey faith or half-heartedness. Expose us, Father. Help us to be true to you and honest before each other, honest to ourselves, courageous as we're reminded of Joshua's call to courage as we step out into a land that's owned by others, a place that you give us to work. Father, we want to be totally yours, glorifying you, following you, and hanging on to your Son. Help us to always look for the lost that we can make contact with to bring souls to you, to show your magnificent love, the perfect truth of your word and your gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week's VBS theme is on God being our creator. And we have 5 classes, and we rotate the children between the classes, and we're taking 5 parts of God's creation and show and demonstrating the evidences of a creator God, both from Scripture and from an objective look at the creation around us in His creation. We're using stars in the universe. We're using plants. We've got one class on insects and bugs. We've got a class on fish. And we've got a class on birds. And sort of like we've been doing on Sunday afternoons, except in a way that we can take more time on the subject, we're covering those 5 subjects this week. And this afternoon, by the way, this afternoon's creation time, our 12:20 class, we're going to have live animals in here, natural Alaskan animals, and we're going to see something that's almost too much to be true, too amazing to totally be true, to see another part of God's magnificent design in His animals. That'll be here at 12:20 with a video and some live animals on another part. Something that happens right in our neck of the woods that God does in an amazing way. But what we just read in 1 Peter chapter 3, what we just read in verse 15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, that our faith is real, that we're committed, that we're settled, that we're not going through the motions and just showing up at church, but that Christ is Lord of who we are. So set him apart, sanctify him as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Being ready. We are attacked every week. Our children in school particularly are attacked every day. Their faith is attacked by another layer of assault against the existence of God, the creation of God, the morality of God. And if you've got a child going to college, it's probably attacked many, many, many times a day. We need to be a people who are strong and sure in our faith, able to stand up like Joshua. Thanks for the lesson there, Steve. Like Joshua going into the promised land. It's promised, but it's also occupied by enemies of the nation. It's promised, but you better have enough courage to step into it and confidence in who your God is to step out. This command to sanctify Christ and being ready is a command for all Christians. I've got a little bit of a video to show. I've been doing a lot of searches and looks for different things on evolution, on atheism, on evidences for God, and I ran into this clip. And it's so emotional. It's not dramatically emotional. It's from a television show. I won't even mention the name of the show, and hoping that nobody will recognize it. Because it's one of these reality shows in which they take two families that are just totally polar opposites, and they take a family member from this family and a family member from this family, and they swap them for a couple of weeks, you know. And see, you're not supposed to know that. Anyway, there's nothing real about it. They're called reality shows, but it's contrived. And if people were reasonable, if people were kind and reasonable in their differences, it wouldn't make good TV. So you'd never see the show in which they swap two people who are nice and reasonable and cooperative and understanding. That wouldn't make it out of the editor's. A room. You only see the ones that are contentious and ridiculous and extreme and harsh, etc., etc. Well, this is one that's titled An Atheist Engaging a Mom. So the title I found online identifies this person as an atheist. But the woman is in the house of this father and her son, and this is the conversation that they begin to have. Patrick, could you get the lights, please? The video doesn't hardly matter. So if you can't see the video, and oh, by the way, what does matter is the sound, and that's not very good. So why am I showing it? It's got enough emotion to it, and the authenticity in the conversation that I wanted you to hear it and think about it yourself. Listen to this yourself. I hope this is clear enough. They're starting to talk about politics, and it very quickly goes into religion and faith.
Right now, politics dictates how you live, so not you.
My
religion. Okay, that goes even farther than that. Because religion is something you can't help. Religion is something you can't help because some invisible guy in the sky tells you you're going to go to hell if you don't do the right thing. That's a dictatorship. I thought you liked freedom.
The Lord is the only freedom there is because...
The Lord does not exist.
In your eyes.
Then what is it you see that proves that there's a Lord?
His presence is in every part of my life. I feel him. I don't have to see him. That's what faith is about.
Faith is like blind belief in something. What solid evidence is there that he is around?
I don't believe in for a second that anything I've ever been through didn't make me who I am today.
And Jesus was a carpenter that talked a lot.
It's not something, I think Sherry herself searches.
There's no proof. The Bible was written 100 years after he died. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I think that people...
He makes me just kind of on guard. And I just don't know how he can have so much hatred as young as he is.
It's not something I regret saying. Because it's something I think she needs to hear. Because otherwise, she's not going to hear that point of view ever in her community, I guarantee you.
I'll bet you didn't understand 10 words out of that. He said, politics is everything. She said, to you. And he said, well, what is everything? And she said, religion. And he said, religion is just a following blind, as a blind faith, following ridiculous ideas. And then he said, religion is, you have no choice in religion. Probably believing that you're in whatever religion your family is in. She responded strongly to that, and he asked, well, give me any real thing. Tell me something. She talked about lordship of Christ. He said, well, tell me something, a reason that you believe that there is a God. And she said, every part of my life tells me that there is a God. Everything I do, everything I am, reminds me that there is a God. And he went on to challenge that, finally saying, Jesus was a carpenter who talked a lot. The Bible was written 100 years after he died, and challenged, basically, give me something. And she couldn't. She teared up in the emotion of the moment, left the room. And he, very proud of himself, says, I'm not sorry I said that. She needs to hear that. She would never hear those things in her own circle. She would never hear those things in her own life. And it's good for me to bring it up and challenge her in it. Turn the lights back on, Patrick. The reality of this, I don't know how old that young man is, teenager, almost certainly. I'm not even going to get into the disrespect that he showed for an adult woman in his own home. That's a parallel issue, but a different one. But I wanted you to see and hear. I tried writing that down and reading it back as part of this lesson, and it was so much more effective to listen to the connection they had, or the disconnection they had, and to see his angry challenge. Tell me a reason that you believe that there is a God. And she said, it's in here. And that didn't connect with him very much. And then he challenged Christ, he challenged the Bible, and he said, she needs to hear that. Always ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. I've got five things to tell you for you to answer that young man with. But if you were there and ready with those 5 points, would you have changed his mind? Probably not. He's pretty virulent. He's determined to, if nothing else, win that argument. I don't know that he wants the truth at that point. He wants to win the argument, which is how we often get. But did you see the man sitting in the background? By the way, I think that's his father or stepfather. You see, there's always somebody watching. Almost. There's always or almost always somebody else to see if you can stand and say, these are the reasons I know I follow a living God. There's always another person. It's school. There's the person giving the argument, and there's the four or five sitting around listening to the discussion. Now remember, the end of verse 15 of 1 Peter 3 says, with gentleness and reverence. But I'd like to give you five things to answer that young man back with. Five solid, simple reasons that we can know that there is a God, and He's the God of the Bible. Number one, that anything exists. The existence of anything. If you were the only thing in the universe, I'll give you a red rubber ball. You're floating in space with your mind intact, ability to live and breathe, and it's just you and a red rubber ball. And you began to think about things. You'd have to think about, where did this red rubber ball come from? And what's rubber anyway? And why is it red? And why can I see it? And who am I? And where did I come from? And how can I think? As soon as you process those thoughts, you have to go back to something else. If you think about that for a while, you have to assume, especially as you think, see things develop and deteriorate, you go backwards and you know that there was a beginning. You know that there was a source. You don't get a red rubber ball unless you have a red rubber ball maker. You don't get a you unless you have one who makes you. You don't get a universe unless you have a beginning of the universe. And you don't get the existence of anything unless you have a source. So the first thing you tell to somebody who doesn't believe that there's a God, you say, there's a universe. And it had to come from someplace. It didn't come from nothing. And believe me, that's the best scientific theories out there now, is that it came from nothing. True, absolute, nil, not a nothing. There was nothing, and then there was an entity. That's the best they've got. He doesn't have to believe you, the young man here, but it gives you a solid answer for a question like that. Isaiah 42, thus says the God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people in it. Isaiah 42. Hebrews 3, 4. Hebrews 3, verse 4. For every house is built by someone. Read this verse here to an atheist friend of yours. For every house is built by someone, right? You can't have a house without a builder. And the builder of all things is God. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. You get that? The Bible clearly says that what you can see, this cup, the origin of the material that made this, did not come from visible things. It came from invisible things, originating with the word, the speech, the word of God. The Bible is very clear. The Bible is repeatedly clear that God made things from His own power and intent. Okay, number one, there is a universe. It exists. Stuff exists. And you cannot have things or a universe or anything without having a source and a beginning to it. And the Bible clearly spells out that the source is an intelligent, caring creator God. Number two, this stuff, the universe, is highly organized. It's not chaos. You know what cosmos means? Cosmos and chaos are opposite words. Chaos, you know, that's what the kids' room looks like or your garage looks like sometimes. It looks like chaos. That's what a disorganized, picnic or whatever looks like. It's just chaos. We don't have any time. All right? That's chaos. Cosmos is the opposite. The cosmos, the universe, is that which is ordered. That which is orderly. Chaos, that which is a mess, a disordered mess. cosmos, even in its scientific description, is that which is ordered. Everything about the universe is ordered. From the chemical structures that we know in the chemical table of elements, to the physics that makes the planets spin and the stars move, to the light itself, to the DNA that gives you the identity in your body. Every part of it is highly organized, massively, incredibly organized. Isaiah 45, this is a beautiful scripture. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. God made a place that was not a waste. He made a place that was useful, to be inhabited. Isaiah 45, that's verse 18. Isaiah 45, 18. If you do nothing else than lean forward to a young man like that who's so quick and arrogant in his attack, if you do nothing else to say, oh yeah, well give me one good reason you believe in God, and you can say entropy. And he'd probably go, what? Entropy. Do you understand the concept of entropy? Entropy is everything is tending toward decay. Everything is heading toward, the sun is burning out. The every light bulb in this room is going to burn out somewhere in here. The paint on your house, just like the paint on this building, is peeling. We painted that paint brand, or the primer brand new yesterday around this building. Guess what? It's a day old. It's already decayed a bit. Everything is decaying. The universe does not naturally order itself. The universe naturally decays from perfect order. So one, the universe exists. That's amazing. And had to have a source, a purposed source. Number two, it's a highly ordered and structured universe that works magnificently and perfectly. Number three, the other impossibility you can't get without a God is life itself. The existence of anything, the order of the universe, Isaiah 45, 18. And number three, life itself. Life is so complicated, it is still a mystery. We do not understand exactly what life is. You got a living grasshopper, you've got a dead grasshopper. You know, one could, if it died a second ago, they're identical little creatures. But one will hop off your hand and the other one will rot in your hand. Life is an amazing thing itself. Genesis chapter 2 tells us that God breathed life. Verse 7, and the Lord of God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Life comes from the Creator God. You don't get life from anything else except life. You don't get life from anything else except life. And before there was life, and now we have life, you can't do it. The existence of life screams a purposed Creator, a kind, powerful God. The creation, the existence of anything, the order of everything, and the existence of life. We know that beyond life, we have real life or eternal life in Jesus Christ, which is the magnificent spiritual reality we get from the physical reality we have around us. But that's the next level, life itself. Number four, so we got the existence of anything, the order of everything, life itself, and number four is morality. As soon as you know that something is good and something is worse, there's a God. You don't get any objective morality. You don't get any objective morality. You don't get any source for good and bad, right and wrong, without there being God. There has to be an independent source outside of this earth for there to be real morality. If there's not, It's just my opinion and your opinion, our society's opinion and the society that used to be here 1,000 years ago. It's just a stack of opinions, and there's no basis for any of it. The fact that there is morality, there is right and wrong, there is good and bad, there is righteous and evil, spells out that there is a God. Psalm 77, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work, muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? When Jesus is challenged by the rich young man, and he says, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus doesn't answer his question until he asks him a question. And the question Jesus asked him, why do you call me good? This was a good dinner, Mom. Why do you call it good unless there's a God? Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone, says Jesus. There's much more to study on every one of these subjects, but you get the point. The existence of anything, the order of everything, life itself, and morality, and the fifth one, to bring the person into the Word, is the magnificence, the consistency of the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible internally and externally and evidentially proves itself over and over and over again. You can study it from what it says in a spiritual way. You can study it in a historical way. You can study it in an archaeological way. You can study it in a storyline. It doesn't matter how you study it. It establishes itself as consistent, non-contradictory, and true. The magnificence of the Word of God. If nothing else, if they challenge you, oh yeah, how? Just say the prophecies. Let me read this from Deuteronomy 18. You may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, when a prophet speaks, this is Deuteronomy 18:22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. God says you look at what the prophet said and what happened. If it didn't come true, it's not from me. And yet, time and time and time and time and time, dozens, hundreds of times in Scripture, we have hundreds of years between a prophet speaking and the exact thing happening in history. Over and over and over again. That's just one piece of obvious evidence to the power and the truth of the Word of God. But at least it gets the person you're speaking with into the Word, hopefully, to look at the Word, to look at the person Jesus Christ. All right, what do you say to the young man who challenges you this way? You say, I got five for you. The existence of anything. The order of everything. The existence of life itself, which can never come from non-life. The fact that there is morality, there is right and wrong, good and bad. And the Bible itself being a magnificent, consistent, perfect word. Now, he might challenge every one of those, but you've answered his question. And you've answered his question with something that's powerful, that's specific, that's clear. And once more, you're going to be the person who stands complete in 1 Peter 3. But sanctify, right? This is lordship stuff. This is lordship stuff. Set Christ apart. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Don't ever try to win the argument, shake a finger in the other person's face, raise your voice, etc., etc., etc. You've got all truth. You've got all power on your side. The young man has confusion and pride on his side. But when you look to the point of all of this, the point isn't to win any argument. The point isn't to convince somebody simply that there is a God. The point is to bring them to Christ. The whole point, Christ died on the cross, not to prove that God was a creator, but the scripture doesn't disconnect those points. The fact that we have a creator God, he had a purpose for this universe. And the purpose of this universe is found through the man Jesus Christ nailed to the cross, the Son of the living God. And when you connect somebody there, and you've changed your life. VBS is fun, but the foundational stuff we're establishing here, the Creator God we're establishing here, is to present the man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as His Son, the Son of God, to whom we come to have our sins forgiven, that we might not just have this life, but have eternal life. That's the reason we're doing all this. That's the reason we're ready to make a defense and answer those questions, not to win any argument. Don't worry about the arguments. Show them the truth of God. If there's any here today who are ready to follow Christ, if you haven't been baptized into Christ yet, we invite you to come. If there are any here today who have something else they need to publicly make straight with the congregation, whatever your need be, would you please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing the song.